Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And as we mentioned earlier, the aid package to Ukraine and to Israel was passed over the weekend through the House. And I'm delighted to have with us today Kenan Spivak. He is the founder and chairman of SMI Group, which is an international investment and consulting company. He does business around the world, including Ukraine. He regularly writes for the Claremont Institute, The American Mind, and the National Review, among other national publications. And he has an MBA and a law degree from Columbia University and is a lifetime member of the National Association of Scholars. He does have a website, AmericanMind.org, AmericanMind.org. Kenan, good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, where are we Skyping you in from? Where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles today.
Okay, good to see you. Thanks for your time. So what did you think of the aid package over the weekend? What's your take on it?
My take on it was a good idea. And I think a lot of the opposition to the aid package among Republicans wasn't an opposition to the aid package. It was an opposition to not also pursuing secure borders. I very much regret that we weren't able to get secure borders, but I think it's very, very important to have obtained this aid package.
Could they have split that amount up and maybe moved some money to the border?
They could have, if the Democrats had allowed that to happen. Let me be simplistic about this.
Sure.
I fully endorse and support the Republican effort to link all of the foreign aid packages to a secure border. I would favor linking almost anything to a secure border. The problem is that the Democrats weren't going to give us a secure border. The so-called bipartisan compromise didn't give us a secure border. It gave us more border agents to process illegal immigrants. That's not a secure border. That's a perhaps organized illegal immigration. It was very, very clear we weren't going to win the linkage. And that being the case, it was very important to get this aid package.
What's in the package to Ukraine?
This particular package includes a lot of military assistance. It includes new weapon systems. It also includes, as unfortunately prior bills have, financial and humanitarian assistance, which I don't think should be the focus of U.S. support.
Interesting. Money went to Israel, $95 billion. What do you think of that?
I think it's fantastic that money went to Israel. I couldn't agree more with your last guest. Israel is the most important ally to the United States in the Middle East. It's the most important ally to the United States in fighting terrorism. It's the cradle of Western civilization. My regret in the Israeli aid bill is that $9 billion of the $26 billion is for Hamas humanitarian aid. And while some humanitarian aid makes sense, I think we need to ensure Israel's security.
Back to the political side of the passing of the foreign aid bill over the weekend, some say Speaker Johnson didn't shoot himself in the foot, but a vital organ. What do you think?
I think Speaker Johnson did the right thing. He did what he had to do. It is not yet clear what the Democrats may insist upon to support him if the Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion is brought. And I think he probably has forfeited the opportunity to be reelected next year, unless Republicans win a lot more seats and enough seats to keep him in office. So I think he was a true hero in protecting America, in doing the right thing, and in not putting first his political future.
What do you think this foreign aid package will do with our relationship with Russia and China?
Oh, it clearly will hurt our relationship with Russia and China. On the other hand, it will signal to Russia and China that we are serious about protecting our allies, that we are serious about maintaining Taiwan's semi-independence, and about protecting Ukraine. One of the important aspects of the Ukraine aid is I think it will make it more difficult for the EU and the European nations not to again step up and provide more aid. And some of the European nations, France in particular, have been talking about sending troops. So in some sense, they're ahead of us. I think this is an important package to signal Russia and China that, contrary to what Biden has been doing the last few years, the U.S. may not be so easy to walk over.
What's it say to NATO?
I don't think it says a lot to NATO. Trump's attitude toward NATO troubles me, except, again, we do need the NATO nations stepping up and increasing their defense budgets. And in that sense, Trump was 100% correct. Implying that the U.S. may not respect an Article 5 demand for assistance isn't helpful. Implying the U.S. might withdraw from NATO isn't helpful. This funding will spur the EU and therefore indirectly NATO to provide additional support to Ukraine, and that's good.
There's something else that's coming out of this, Kenan, that's kind of interesting. We're seeing that Russia's army isn't as sophisticated as we thought it was, number one. And that was also echoed when Israel responded to Iran and took out an air strategic system there in Iran that apparently that was bought from Russia. It didn't operate correctly. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think Russians are not 10 feet tall. Half of all of the, apparently half of all the combat tanks in the Russian military have already been destroyed in Ukraine. They obviously haven't progressed very far. Now, they're doing better lately, which is why this aid package is so important. But still, after 2 years, they haven't managed to take very much of Ukraine. They've managed to kill a lot of Ukrainians and cause a lot of damage and cause a lot of disarray, but they're not 10 feet tall. Nonetheless, and I do want to be cautionary about this, the willingness, Vladimir Putin's willingness to use his military for offensive actions and the damage caused by that military is substantial. Their defense system might, by the way, I think it did work as it was supposed to work in Iran. I think Israel's technology is superior, and so working wasn't good enough. But the Russian military is still a large and troubling military, and we can't take it lightly. Even more so, we can't take lightly the Chinese military, which is technologically far more advanced than the Russian military and much larger. It's untested in combat, but I have every reason to believe that it would do well in combat.
It appears now a two-state solution is not going to work in Israel. Hasn't. Gaza was somewhat of a test that failed. And they're saying maybe land would be the settlement for Ukraine, for Russia, i.e., a quasi two-state solution. What's your take?
Russia is not going to withdraw from Ukraine without taking something. At the very least, Crimea, perhaps some of the additional provinces that they've occupied. From an ethical and moral perspective, it's wrong to reward their invasion. From a practical and pragmatic perspective, Crimea was for many, many years part of Russia. It was ceded to Ukraine as part of almost an M&A transaction where there were exchange of land and administrative adjustments during the time of the Soviet Union. Ceding Crimea to Russia has some historic precedence. Ceding some of the other land may end up being necessary to secure the peace. I would regret that, but unfortunately, international diplomacy requires pragmatism. In the case of Israel, other than the quasi two-state solution like Gaza or the West Bank, going much further than that, I think, is a mistake, particularly when the other state has been rejected by most of the Arab world and has yet to renounce its goal of the destruction of Israel.
Yeah. So when former President Trump talks about settling the war in Ukraine in 24 hours, is it a land deal settlement?
I think former President Trump is engaging in hyperbole, as he's wont to do, and that there isn't a 24-hour settlement in Ukraine.
Where does this aid to Taiwan leave us?
The aid to Taiwan is insufficient. The Taiwan situation is really made complex by the fact that it's been U.S. policy from the outset not to recognize Taiwan as an independent country and to dance around the fact that we effectively support China's view that it should be integrated with China, but then oppose China's view that it, China, should set the schedule for a combination. I, in fact, disagree with that approach. I do think Taiwan ought to be viewed as an independent country, and I think the U.S. should accept the consequences of that position. We are much stronger in the economic relationship with China than often we wish to admit. I don't think this is enough aid to preserve Taiwan's independent status. China has become extremely aggressive in the South China Sea. I think the aid package is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it will be sufficient.
Kenan, I wish you had some more time. I want to get you back. Let me assure our viewers and listeners, go to AmericanMind.org. That's where you can track some of his writings. And there's a picture of that landing page, or SMI Group LLC. You could go there and check that out as well. Kenan, thank you. You're fascinating. Can we get you back?
Absolutely, Perry. And thank you. Thank you for all the good work you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.